In Psalm 119:105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lead not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." In many passages of God's Word, life is described as a journey. It makes the description of the way that we live our lives is like walking upon a path or a pathway. And we're told in various passages, some that we'll look at this evening, many others that we won't look at, but we'll look at a few. But we're told that there are many paths in this life that we can choose from. There's many ways that we can go in this life, many steps that we can take. But we also understand that there is only one path, only a certain set of steps that can lead us to heaven, to that eternal rest that God has promised. And I submit to you that that path to heaven must be taught, and it must be learned, right from the pages of the Bible into our hearts and our minds. That's the only way that leads to heaven. That's the path that we should all be striving for. And that pathway requires us to learn. It requires us to study, to be taught. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, for example, parents are told to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There the phrase, "the way he should go," or the path he should walk in. The idea that a child is to be taught the ways of God's Word, so that that child, as he grows and matures, may know how to walk in this life, how he ought to behave given certain situations. The idea that as they grow and mature, they look to God's Word for guidance, for direction upon life's pathway. We see that we're on life's journey here on earth, and our destination for all of us, no matter how young or how old, no matter whether we're members of the church or not, each person's destiny is eternity. That's our final destination. That's where all of us are going on our earthly pilgrimage. And the only decision that we have is whether we're going to spend eternity in heaven or in hell. That's the destination that all of us are going to face, one or the other. When you turn to the book of Jeremiah, in the Old Testament, in the book of Jeremiah, we find in Jeremiah chapter 6, God's people depicted as travelers who had lost their way. And we find through God, through His prophet Jeremiah, admonishing them to seek out and to follow the path that leads back to God, that leads back to the rest that He offers. Notice Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. It says, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." So we see here the idea that there were many paths that God's people could have chosen. But there was only one path that led to God. That path was referred to here as the old paths, where the good way is. And they were told to seek it, to find it, and then to walk in it, to stay in it. Here the old paths, or the good way, refers to the law of Moses, the law that God had given to the nation of Israel, the law that they were required to follow. They were required to keep it in order to stay in a right relationship with God. That's what was required of Israel at that time. Notice Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 22. It says, "For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward." God's law was that pathway, that way that Israel was to follow. They were told in verse 23, "Walk in all the ways that I have commanded you." Walking on the right path required obedience to God's law. Verse 24, we're told that they failed to walk down the right path. They strayed off the path that they were supposed to be on. And they instead there went backward instead of forward. Israel, in essence, went the wrong way. They traveled the wrong way on this path. What caused them to go the wrong way? Verse 24 says they did not obey. but they followed the counsel and the dictates of their evil hearts. They sought after their fleshly desires, those things that appeal to their flesh. And that's what they went after. They chose the wrong path. Path that seemed pleasing at the time, but ultimately led to their demise and to their destruction. Look at Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 15. Jeremiah 18 and verse 15. It says, "Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to worthless idols, and they have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in pathways and not on a highway, to make their land desolate and a perpetual hissing. Everyone who passes by it will be astonished and shake his head. I will scatter them as an east wind before the enemy. I will show them the back and not the face in the day of their calamity." We know, of course, that their choices caused them to walk down the wrong pathway. It ended into them like being led into captivity and punished for turning their backs upon God. That was the path that they chose. But it was their choice. What does that have to do with you and I today? And I submit we can look at these Old Testament, how God dealt with the people of that day, especially with His own people. And it serves as a reminder to you and I how God's going to treat those who turn their back on Him even today. If we don't choose the right path, if we don't walk in that right path, we're told even in the New Testament that our steps, that our walk is going to lead in destruction. Israel sought after idols. They sought after different kinds of worship. And in that, they neglected God's law. They failed to keep it. And sadly, today we see many denominations, even those among the churches of Christ, trying new things, trying to appeal to people's fleshly desires, perhaps even trying to please their selves. And God's Word has become secondary. Perhaps they teach a little bit of it, preach a little bit of it, but it's taken a back seat in many cases. They seek new ways. They have departed from the old path of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at Luke chapter 13 from our scripture reading that Ethan did such a good job on. Appreciate that. Look in Luke chapter 13 and verse 23. There Jesus was asked a question. It says, "Then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them," notice Jesus' answer here in verse 24. He says, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able." We're told very plainly by Christ Himself that there is only one path, that there is only one narrow gate. Notice He says there's only one, the narrow gate, the only one. And it's narrow, it's not easily entered. And it's that path, that gate, is the one that we must walk in order to attain eternal salvation. So for you and I today, we have to understand what that way is. How do we walk in that way? Where is that path? How do we know it? How do we know that we're on that path? And we can be assured that God's Word has not left us blank on that either. We can know. Of course, we know that we're not under the old law as Israel was. We're under a new law. You look in Hebrews chapter 8, beginning in verse 8, we understand that Christ brought about a new law, a new covenant. Hebrews 8 and verse 8 says, "Because finding fault with them, He says, Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. In that," he says, "a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away." So we're under a new covenant. We're under a new law. And we should appreciate that each and every day, what Christ did for us through that great sacrifice. He brought in a new way, a new law, a new path that we today are supposed to follow. So what is that way? John 14 and verse 6. That we stay on that path. John 14 and verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Notice Acts 4 and verse 12. Acts 4 and verse 12. It says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is only one path to salvation. And that path requires us to walk in total obedience, in total submission to Christ and those things that He commanded on the pages of New Testament. That's what is required of us today. That path consists of us following God's Word. That's the only path that's going to lead to that promised eternal rest. We are warned by Jesus Himself when you look in Matthew chapter 7. We're warned there that just like Israel, there are many paths today that we can choose. He didn't say the way was going to be easy. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Again, many, many paths lead to sin and lead to separation from God. And we can be led down the wrong path so easily, can't we? Satan's going to stop at nothing, especially for those that are members of the church. That's who he's after. He desires to pull us away, maybe through false teaching, through fleshly desires, through appeals of the world, things that we might like or love of this world. All of these things can get in our way and cause us to fall off of the pathway. Look at 1 John chapter 2. We're given there a warning about this very thing. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Again, the warning, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all these things appeal to our flesh. And we can be so easily ensnared in these things. And if we're not careful, before we know it, we're off the path completely. And we lose our way, we lose our sense of direction. And we know that leads to sin. It leads to separation from God and punishment. So how do we make sure that we're on this right path? And I submit to you that we can look to the early Christians and how they followed the commands of Christ, how they followed the commands of the apostles, and they abided in the apostles' doctrine. Look in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. Acts 2 and verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. We can know that we're on the right path when we read, when we understand, and when we do God's Word, and we continue to walk in those things of Christ and the apostles' doctrine. That's how they did it in the early church times. They were taught, they learned, and they followed. They did these things. And they remained on that right path. We need to take the example of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. When Paul here thanked those at Thessalonica, he commended them in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So we're to receive the Word as they did. And not only receive it, we're to know it, and we're to follow it. We're to do something with it, as those at Thessalonica did. It is then that we know that we're walking on the right path, that we're on the right way that leads to heaven. Let's look at just a few passages, and then we'll bring this to a close, that tell us how to walk, how we ought to walk in this life. Flip back to the book of Psalms, if you would. Notice in particular Psalm 128 and verse 1. It says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. 119, verses 2 and 3. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. So walking in God's ways keeps us from sin. It keeps us from iniquity. It keeps us on that right path. Psalm 5, verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in Your righteousness because of my enemies. Make Your way straight before my face. We're on that straight path when we follow God's Word. We're to look to His Word, His way, and we're to remain and walk in it. Ephesians 4 and verse 1 tells us to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Walk, live in obedience to God. Be worthy of that calling. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, flip back over there real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil for laboring night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Again, the way that we are to walk worthily, to walk on the right path. And again, looking to God's Word and to the examples and patterns that He's given us in that Word. And following those things, knowing that we can be on that right way. Sadly, we see many in the denominational world again desiring to fill the pews, to draw crowds through sporting events, through concerts, through plays and performances, free food. All these different ways, all these new ways that are not authorized in God's Word. But we know that there's only one way that leads to heaven, that old path of the New Testament law given to us by Jesus Christ Himself. That's the way to heaven. And that's the way that we're to seek out. That's the one and only path. It's tried. It's true. It leads to the same destination today as it did then. It leads to heaven if we'll simply remain in it. One last verse, and then the lesson is yours. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's what we're seeking as Christians, as God's people. It's that eternal rest. We're promised eternal rest if in this life we seek and follow the ways of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We may have struggles. We're not promised that it's going to be easy. But we are promised an eternal reward if we remain faithful unto the end. We're told that in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. They talk about that eternal reward that awaits us all if we'll simply remain faithful to Him. That's a lesson for this evening. How about you tonight? Are you on the right path? Are you walking the path that leads to heaven? If you're not, if you've never become a Christian, you have an opportunity to do that tonight. You do that by hearing Romans 10:17, by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mark 16:16, by repenting. Luke 13:3, by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And then by being baptized for the remission of your sins, as Peter commanded there in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. If you do that, you can be added to the church. You can begin to walk down that pathway that leads to heaven. If you've done that, but you've fallen away, if you've got off the old proven path that leads to heaven, if you've strayed from that, you can make that right tonight. We can pray with you. We can pray for you. We're told that we can do that in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, that you can be restored to a right relationship with God. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand.